Well, now we have on the Valley Talk program today, we have Representative Deb Keelan. Deb, first of all, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate being here.
You are getting down to the nitty-gritty, for a lack of better terms. You're down to what? How many days left in the session?
Well, we have to be done by law May 21st. But after this week, we will have 13 days left of floor session. So we have to use, we can't use that after 13 days. So I can't tell you exactly when we're going to be done. If you hear a bonding bill, we might be close to done then. So
is that the big thing right now, is the bonding bill, trying to get that through? And as soon as you get that through, everything else might fall in place? Or is that the last thing you're going to work?
That'll be the last thing we negotiate. And it is a bonding year. So, but we have other things that we need to tie up, corrections for bills that have problems last year. It's going to depend on some personalities and what happens in negotiations, how far we get. We've done some correction bills. We'll do some tomorrow. We go back after a Passover break. So tomorrow we'll start again. And I don't expect any more breaks now. April was 3 weeks of different days, but breaks, because we had Easter and then we had Ramadan and then now we have Passover.
And before we talk about maybe some issues here, let's talk about some of the issues that you're going to be working on, especially in the next week or two.
Yeah, the bills that we're cleaning up. I'm hoping we'll get the transportation bill done, and I believe we will. There is actually some help for American Crystal Trans Systems at Hall. From North Dakota to Minnesota. North Dakota can carry heavier loads. They use a larger wheelbase to do that, but they want to be able to haul larger trucks to the East Grand Forks plant, and so that's in that transportation bill. But more importantly, there are other things that need to be taken care of with the roads and bridges and making sure that we have that funding there. So.
And well, that means I-35 going to be worked on again. It seems to be a never-ending project on I-35 just in the Twin Cities area, which is what most of us from this neck of the woods. Is there never not a project on I-35?
Not in the 14 years I've been there. There's always a road project, and St. Paul is redoing a lot of their infrastructure after they put the train in. And oh my gosh, you just don't know where you should drive, or, you know, I'm fearful I'm going to go down the wrong one way. But yeah, there's a lot of construction, road construction going on. So
it's when I go to St. Paul or Minneapolis now, well, they've always had one ways, but now with the train, it's a little more difficult even for those that have been down in those areas for a lot. But now we know what the visitors to Crookston feel like, I guess.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, and some people manage all that just fine. But I don't know. Maybe I'm too much of a farm girl. I like my own car, and I want to know where I'm going, and you know, just that. And actually, in the transportation bill, there are some concerns about the trains themselves. There are some real problems and funding. It's very costly, and so you don't want to do it wrong. And it just has some real concerns.
Speaking of the train, the several times I've been on one, I don't know if I've ever seen anybody buy a ticket to get on.
That's the problem. And last I heard, it's probably costing Minnesota $18 a ride. So even though you're paying $2, $3, $4 for a ride, we're still subsidizing it. And that's the concern. They want people to ride trains, less traffic, but you can count on one hand most of the time how many people are on the trains. So buses too, same thing. And buses are easier. You can adjust a drop off or a pickup. So that makes more sense as you move traffic around. But
yeah, it's from when I've been down there, and granted, I'm usually there on the weekend, so there isn't a lot of business, but there's not a lot of business people going to downtown Minneapolis anymore either. But it seems like they are, outside of a Twins or a Vikings game, they're not very well used.
No, that's correct. Even the businesses themselves, I wonder how they're doing, because they rely on that traffic, and it's pretty quiet.
How about some other issues maybe affecting Northwest Minnesota? Well, we're seeing schools right now. I saw East Grand Forks has to make cuts. Thief River Falls has to make a bunch of cuts. And it's a multifaceted problem, but we're seeing a lot of school districts now with trying to pass referendums, not able to do it. And they are in trouble right now. And it's not just here, it's all across the state, isn't it?
Yeah, kind of sad when we realized that there was a very large increase in funding for the schools. And it doesn't matter where you are, whether you're in rural Minnesota or metro area, we're having a lot of problems. Worst thing is our students aren't able to read. period. The test scores are horrible. We put more money into education, and our schools are cutting. And the unfortunate part is we did a lot of mandates. I said, no, we cannot do that. We had principals. We have quite a large contingent of educators in the education committees. And there's a lot of debate over how that was handled and what was done. Unfortunately, they wanted to mandate things from St. Paul. And what we know works for Crookston doesn't necessarily work for even East Grand Forks. And certainly in the cities. And it's just really sad to what's happened with the schools. So with $17, $18 billion in surplus, plus we did another $10 billion in extra taxes last year, we're going to have problems in the next biennium because it just can't keep going that way. And we're losing businesses that are walking away. It's just easier to throw up their hands and say, I just can't handle the mandates. Even education, education as well as other businesses, the challenges that provides. So it's hard for a lot of our legislators in the metro area to understand. A lot of them have either worked for a government job or have worked for volunteer type programs. Mm-hmm. And so consequently, they don't understand how to make a paycheck and how business has to be working in order to make our schools successful.
You would think, just me on the outside looking in, if I'm looking into doing something with education, I would listen to the people that have been there and know how that works.
That's exactly right, yeah. And when you have testimony within the committees that say, hey, this just isn't going to work for us, it's really disappointing that some legislators look at you and say, well, we know better. We have a better idea about how this is going to work. And I think, really, honestly, most people really want to do what's right for the citizens of Minnesota. That's really the goal. We just have a different perspective on how we want to see it happen.
And some can admit that, I don't know, we should listen to these people. And that's both sides of the aisle and different topic.
Yeah, that would be very true. It is, how you see it. And then, of course, but you're right. You have to listen to the testifiers that come in. That is so important to hear what they have to say. And I've watched some interesting testimony, both sides, that have, some ideas about what needs to happen, but we don't always listen to the information that we're getting, or sometimes someone has an agenda and it doesn't fit the narrative, so we just move forward anyway, and it becomes very hard.
One thing a lot of people in Minnesota have noticed, especially during the tax filing season, is taxes. That took a big check. I've talked to so many people this year that have always gotten a check back that didn't get one back this year and had to pay in. That's happened quite a bit, and that's mostly on the Minnesota side. Taxes went up quite a bit, even though we had that surplus, which a lot of people are scratching their head.
Don't blame them. I'm in the same boat. It is scary to see how much the taxes went up. And what's most important about that is everybody's everyday costs. We're not just seeing taxes go up. We're seeing groceries go up. Gas is higher. All of that is going to affect our lifestyle. And the conversations you hear about even credit card debt and healthcare debt and just all of these challenges that are really very concerning, because we got to stop. We have to stop raising taxes. We have to stop spending money, and all in the name of helping people. But just in healthcare alone, I spend a lot of time in healthcare, and we just passed the healthcare bill, and we are over budget on that bill. We'll see. It goes to Ways and Means tomorrow, so we'll see what happens. But that's not the important part. Is we didn't do anything for mental health, which when we had a surplus, that should have been a priority, but it wasn't. And now they're even seeing a cut in the services that are there, and we need more than less. And we just don't have the help out there for families. And then we do, whether you think about marijuana or not being good or bad, we have all these children getting sick. Marijuana usage in young brains is causing first psychosis. Once that happens, that's permanent. And we're telling people that that's okay, when in fact it isn't. And even, marijuana was a big deal when I was in high school. Using that was not the strength that it is now. And so it just is affecting the development, the brains of young people. And that's not the only thing. We don't want them to smoke. We don't want them to drink. We say all of those things affect their brain. And here we are saying, yeah, well, that's okay. So, and I'm going to go to the transgender point. We're talking about giving children drugs that can affect their hearts, can affect their bone structure when they're young. And there's all kinds of medical statistics out there. The other countries are saying, whoa, wait a minute, we've got a problem. Yet we in Minnesota are saying, oh no, we know better. We're going to let these kids do it and stop them from suicide when in fact, let's just deal with the mental health. So it's frustrating.
And we do have a mental health crisis, not only in Minnesota, but across the country.
We do. We do. And I don't know why it's worse. You know, we can blame all kinds of things on it. You know, our children really need support. You and I talked about it before we get started, how important it is for children to have that mom and that dad and that stability. It's got to make for our teachers to have a hard time educating children. Our society is going the wrong direction.
That's for sure. What other topics should people be aware of coming up here in the last month of the session?
You know, I think we'll see how far we get with other bills that are hanging around. Conversations we talk about are things like sanctuary state. I don't think that's going anywhere at all. I think the other thing is we talk about an equal rights amendment. A lot of people think, oh yeah, we should have that. We have that already. In fact, the concern is that it's not just what we already have is there. And then people go to abortion. Well, we have abortion up until birth. So all of those things are there. So none of those bills would change that. But it would include transgender. And the problem with that is that it will take away Title IX. It will take away women's rights. So it will actually do the reverse of what people are thinking. I want equal rights. We have that. But now we're changing it. There's a message in there. There's a direction in there. And that is what I see is very, very concerning about what's happening in St. Paul. So it's going to be interesting to see. I hope we can talk when we're done, but hopefully we don't spend any more money. We don't raise any more taxes. I would like to see us go backwards, stop, you know, raising taxes or reverse the taxes, but I'm not real hopeful on that. We have a trifecta and the trifecta is being a bit irresponsible and unaccountable. And that's what we need to hold them accountable to.
About the only good thing for that is that when the election comes, there's a lot of people that are noticing now that maybe some of the laws or different things that have been passed, the mandates for schools, it's really hurting the state and we're going to be in a deficit soon.
Yeah, that's exactly what the management and budget tells us, that in 2 to 4 years, we will have a real problem. And I went in when we had $5 million deficit. I think it ended up being $7 million. And I'm like, oh, but we reversed all that and tried to balance things. And it just, yeah. And we're supposed to have a balanced budget in Minnesota. We aren't supposed to spend more than we bring in. And I don't think we should bring in more than we need. And we need to talk about that, where we're at with that. So that will be up to the next representative for District 1B. Yeah, it's time for me to let fresher heads, new energy join us. So
I know you're bummed about not being able to continue, but at the same time, you're not going to miss it. I have a feeling either. It's a bittersweet type of
thing. It is very, but I love rural Minnesota. I always said that the best drive home is the one in my rearview mirror when I'm leaving St. Paul, the traffic, the coming home to Lon and the family and just being here and in rural Minnesota. So
anything else the listeners should know?
No, just paying attention to concerns. Let me know. I've certainly always want to hear. We didn't talk about gun rights, but you know that is also important. And I don't know where that's going to go. Hopefully, it will get stopped. Second Amendment rights need to be protected, but that's also a conversation. After the shooting of the police officers, what a tragic thing. But the rules wouldn't have stopped the gentleman who did what he did, and I think that's what we have to understand.
And in a lot of these cases, you can have all the rules you want, but there's criminals for a reason. They do things the wrong way. They don't follow the rules. And you can get a gun, unfortunately, sometimes too easy for these people that are looking.
That's exactly right. That gentleman, I think, had 7 guns. He wasn't supposed to have any. And then he was doing terrible things to children. So we need to have those protections so that we can protect our families and, you know, just that challenge having the state tell us what we should and shouldn't do. I think citizens need to have the right. Well, I know they do. Second Amendment says we have to have the right.
And I do feel bad for all the excellent gun owners that we have, especially up in our neck of the woods, that do everything by the book. They do it the right way. And then every time something like this happens, they're like, oh no, because all the good people, but that's all it takes is a couple of bad apples that ruin it for everybody.
That's exactly right. That's why we get a lot of rules. Exactly. I would say something I know we need to go. One thing that the schools are doing, Representative Kristen Robbins, who was born in Crookston, her dad was running Stenchels at the time. Anyway, but she's a legislator down in Maple Grove area. And she is proposing a bill that would not allow any students to have phones in schools. Oh. They are discovering that the children are much better behaved when they get rid of the phones, interacting with each other. The schools are saying they've got much better discipline in the schools, and they're recognizing that that's really a detriment to let students have phones. So I think, you know, we've come full circle, and that is a bill that's coming forward. I'm hoping that gets heard on the floor.
Can I co-sponsor, even though I'm not in the legislature? I think you have a lot of parents that, I know there's parents that wouldn't be in favor of that, but most of us, I think, would be all in favor of that.
Yes, yeah. You know, the argument was, my kids drove 10 miles into town. Well, it gave us communication. But it's not that necessary, and we need to get our days ordered so that we know what we're doing during the day. And yeah, things happen, but that's why the school has a message center.
I have called many times. Can you get Carter Fee out? He has a chiropractor appointment. Yep. They do it. He's there in 5 minutes. I mean, if there's an emergency, they'll be able to get him.
Exactly. So, and we need to work with our schools on making sure that our kids are present in the moment, rather than this business of being in all different social media places. They shouldn't be and don't need to be.
Exactly. I listened to Dr. Laura yesterday when I was driving, and she said a 13-year-old should not have a smartphone. And it's every study has shown that it hurts reading, socialization skills, and everything. So smartphones, even for teenagers, even 16, 17-year-olds, not a good thing.
No, I would agree. Maybe even not for adults.
Yeah, well, I agree there too. Please take away my smartphone, please. Deb, thanks for stopping by. We appreciate it. We hope the next month is a productive one. And like we said, we probably won't see tax cuts, but we're hoping the best case scenario. And we look forward to talking to you maybe either towards the end of the session or after the session or both. Yeah. So thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.